rest? I did. I was at the house just laying across my bed, and I just, I come close to telling Shelby, I said, just call Brother Bill and tell him I won't make it tonight. But no, I wouldn't do that. I just come on and come.
I leave with that, and I couldn't give him a look.
Oh, me. But, I tell you. Yeah, it's good to be a Christian. It's good to have fun and know that you have fun and can remember it from one day to the next. A whole lot of people can't say that. They can remember what they've done the day before. Says, I can't remember what I done yesterday. Well, if I ever get like that, it's going to have to be because I got my mind completely gone. I don't remember nothing. But my prayers is it won't go. So it's all right. The Lord's going to be with us.
Amen.
He's already with us. I do want you to pray for the upcoming Jubilee. We're going to start having June, 1st of June. It's at June the 8th through the 12th. And Monday through Friday, I come close of ending it on Thursday, but the preachers that I had that was going to be preaching, they're within an hour's drive of here, and so. But now, Brother J.D. Walker is going to be here every night. He's going to be here every night, and he may even be here Sunday. I don't know yet, but I know he's going to be here every night. He's going to be the main speaker. He's going to be the last one preaching every night. And I got Brother Paul Sisk is going to be here. He's going to be preaching Monday night. And then we got Tuesday night, we got Brother David Hendricks. Yeah, Brother David Hendricks. Gonna be here Tuesday night. He's from over Thomasville, North Carolina. They call him the cowboy because he always got a cowboy's hat on and got cowboy boots on. And I've heard some good things about him. I spoke to him and everything, and he preaches from the King James Bible, and it's a shame that you have to go back and you have to end up, if you have a revival next month or something like that, you've got to end up calling the preacher and see what they're preaching from. Because this day and time, you never know. I mean, they fly by nights now, way that they seem like, but with that in mind, and Wednesday night, Brother J.D. is going to be preaching.
Tell Miss who's here Monday and Tuesday.
Okay. Monday night is going to be Brother Paul Sisk is going to be here Monday night. He's going to be preaching first, and then Brother J.D. Walker is going to be preaching. And Tuesday night is David Hendricks. I can't think of his last name to save my life. David Hendricks from Thomasville Baptist Church. He's going to be here Tuesday night with J.D. Walker. And Wednesday night, I suspect they will probably be at their own church. Now, I don't know, but we may have some visitors come in. If we have some visitors and their preachers or evangelists that comes in on Wednesday night, I'll get them to come up and preach, and J.D. Walker will be here Wednesday night. Now, Thursday night is Greg Thomas from South Boston True Life Baptist Church. in South Boston down 501. He'll be here Thursday night, and J.D. Walker will. And then Friday night, they call this man the wild man. I don't know. I don't know if they got him mixed up with Paul Sisk or not. I don't know. But I've always thought when you talk about the wild man from North Carolina, they always talked about Paul Sisk. And when, that's what I told Brother Paul last fall. And I called two or three others and see if they could come and do it. But they already had previous engagements and previous revivals that they was attending to, and they was preaching at, so they couldn't come. So then that's when I relied on the preachers that I know. And I was talking to Brother Paul Sisk. He called me one day and just checking on me, how I'm feeling or something like that. And I told him I felt fine and okay, and everything seemed like it's going well right now. But then I asked him, I said, do you know of anybody else that I can get? I said, I got one opening left, and it'd be on a Friday. I said, now, if you can't, I said, would you want to come back Friday? He said, well, he said, I couldn't come back Friday because I got a meeting Tuesday through Friday. I've got to be at. And I said, okay. So then that's when he gave me Dwayne King from over at Piedmont Baptist Church in Reedville. And I said, well, I said, I'm going to ask you something. I said, I think I've met him, but I don't know if I have. It's been a while if I have. I said, what Bibles did he preach from? He said, I'm glad you asked. He said, he preaches from one of these old Bibles or something like that, what they talk about today and everything. He said, you don't hear much about it, but you know, he just seems like he just wants to preach from that book. I said, now, what are you talking about now? He said, I'm talking about the King James. I said, all right. He said, when I said, I hope that's what you're going to let me know when you said that, the old book. But y'all pray. And now, this year, it's going to be just nights. Next year, Lord's willing, and I want you to pray hard about it, but next year, I believe that we should be able to have some more people coming in by then, and we can have a morning service to where we can just get all the preachers to come within Danville or a surrounding area and everything, and we just call them up from the floor and just let them preach and maybe have a little bite to eat afterwards. But, you know, it ain't got to be no full-blown meal. There ain't got to be no seven-course meal like Shelby thinks anytime you fix anything in church, got to be a seven or ten-course meal, but it ain't got to be no 10-course meal. All is good. But, I know it is, but I mean, hopefully we're going to have some others.
Don't tell them yet you're
going to feed them, please. Oh, I ain't going to do that. No, I ain't going to tell them for next year, no.
Not this year, but not next year.
That's right. But we're going to allow the Lord to lead and guide and direct us in it. And this is what the Lord laid on my heart last summer and last fall. So I just said, well, we're going to mind the Lord and do what He's asked us to do. Now, the only thing the church has spent for the Jubilee is the banner. That's all we've spent that I know of. Unless somebody else has spent some that I don't know nothing about, but I think that's all we've spent. Right, Bill? All right, so, which I know that we got, we'll talk about that the first next month, but All right, turn into your Bibles tonight in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews. And this is the faith chapter. This is what you see so many of them today. They don't preach, but just these 11 type messages. And I believe, I know God's a loving God, and also he's a God of wrath. But everyone that the Lord speaks about here in this chapter 11, I mean, they went through some trying times. They just didn't have everything that I handed over to them, and they just didn't have an easy life. But as they was there, I mean, the Lord just blessed them because they had faith in God. And sometimes God will try our faith and see exactly what we will do for him. Now, if we do for the Lord as he's asked us to do in his word. And I love them two songs that they sung tonight. And they mentioned a whole lot about grace. Whole lot about grace. If it wasn't for God's amazing grace, there would not be a Faith Baptist Church. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd have never had the opportunity to meet each and every one of you. And y'all wouldn't have been able to meet me. But his grace is sufficient for the very moment that we're in. And I was telling a family member one time, I says, you know, and they was asking me, and they asked me to come down to the house and everything. Her sister had passed away, and I didn't know anything about none of it or nothing until afterwards. But one of the members at the church come to me and asked me, says, I don't know if you know the whole story, the reason she passed away or not. And says, what happened was she took her own life. Now her sister is having a hard time with that. And I says, I imagine so. And I says, I would have a hard time in that. My wife would have a hard time if I'd have taken my own life. She said, but what she's having a hard time, she's having a hard time with that, but what she's really having a hard time with is that she knows that she don't think she'll ever be able to see her sister anymore. She won't be able to see her sister in heaven anymore. Says because she has got this idea that some preacher put in her head years and years ago, that if somebody took their own life and if they were saved, that they wouldn't go to heaven. I'll tell you where. And the lady asked me how I felt about that. But I said, well, the only thing I go by scripture. And the word of God plainly tells me, once saved, always saved. Because if you're serving a one that's once saved, that's not all the way saved, if something comes up and something happens to you mentally, and that's what goes wrong with an individual, I believe, that takes their own life, that their mind snaps. And I went and I finally got a chance to talk to the sister. And she come to me and was talking, and she wanted me to have part in it, and I believe it was. And she says, Preacher, I just don't understand why my sister could take her own life. Says, I know she was under pressure. I know that she was depressed and she was sick. But she was also a Christian. But how could she take her life and knowing that what we've been taught down through the years, that if we ever took our life, that we'd be separated from our loved ones. We'd be separated from God. I said, well, let me give you some comfort. That's not true. If you're saved and you know that you're saved, you going to heaven, does no make no difference what anybody else says. God has the final say so. And if you've got everything settled with God, and you know that your name has been written, and you know that you profess to be a child of the King, it's not your heart that completely goes, but it's your mind. And I told her, I said, your mind is a powerful thing. I said, but can you tell me if she was saved or not? She said, yes, she was saved. I was at the same church where she come forth and she went down to the altar. And she was weeping there. And one of the other men in the church went to her and took his Bible and opened his Bible, led her to the Lord. And she prayed. And she asked God to come into her heart and her soul. And she said she was a different individual. I could see it in her life, even though we were so close together that, you know, a sibling don't, they won't see that change in an individual's life because they always hang on to the life of before. But she says, I seen a difference in her life. And I knew something happened at night. And she always was in church. And she says, preacher, she just had so much on her. She was depressed. She was sick. I forgot if it was cancer or what, I don't know. But says she just couldn't bear it any longer. And hadn't been maybe a few years or maybe two or three, maybe four or five years since her husband had passed away. And she couldn't cope with it. Her mind had just went. It just went crazy. It went wild. And I told her, I said, you got the comfort in knowing today she's not separated from God. She's not separated from you. Yes, you're not going to be able to see her face to face anymore. I said, but you do have your memories that nobody else can take away from you. And that's nothing but the devil is trying to play tricks on your mind and letting you know. Because the devil wants you to get out of church. Because see, if the devil can do that, trick you to the point to say, well, if that's the case, if I'm going to serve a God like that, that, you know, says, you know, they're up there preaching about eternal security and everything, and if somebody commits suicide and I know that they're saved, then they die and go to hell then. I don't want to serve a God like that. I said, neither do I. But I don't serve that type of God. I said, I serve a type of God that He forgives sin. He forgets sin. And the sin that I had committed years ago, when I came to him that day and asked him to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse my heart and to save my soul. My sins was in the deepest part of the ocean. And I don't know how, I don't know what the deepest part of it is. It's got to be mighty deep if Jesus said it. And he said it. Your sin's going to be far from the east is from the west. You're always going around east to west. Always going around. You never get to the western part of it. Because you're always going east. And when I first heard that, I kind of was wondering about that. I said, well, if that's the case, then east from the west, well, what about from the west, going from the west to the east? No. You can look at that. That's going to be one point of it. You're going to be going east. Then you're going to be going back west. So it's a confusion there. See, God never has a confusion. God never makes a mention of in his word that where he will go about and confuse. He's in the Bible plainly tells us too that he's not the author of confusion. The devil is the author of confusion. But chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews, let's start reading them 1 through 3, and then we'll go over to number 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by the elder obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the world were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 6 says, But without faith, now, anytime that we start off a sentence, and anytime the Lord starts off with a sentence in the word of God, he wants you to listen. Listen to what I believe Paul is saying. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, Father, we thank you, Lord, and Father, for this precious book. And Father, we thank you, Father, for what we've just read, and Father, the faith, and knowing that we can have also the faith of the of this book of this chapter of faith that we can look at right now for a few moments tonight. Father, help us, Lord, that we may grow in us. In the grace of God, not only in the grace of God, but our faith will also be able to grow in him. And Lord, we want to thank you for what you're going to do tonight. And Lord, thank you for this church. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to be with it. Bless it, Lord and Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. The meaning of faith. The meaning of faith. What is faith? What is faith? You know, when I left home tonight coming here, you know, I went across one bridge I know of. Did I come to the point when I got to that bridge on Goodyear Boulevard, when I got there, did I stop on on this side of the bridge? Did I get out of my automobile and go and look up under the bridge and examine the pillars that was holding the bridge up? No, I didn't. I should have. Going by what God is saying, we should have. Well, I should have. Because the thing about it was, what I was doing, if I don't have enough faith to believe God, then I say I have more faith in man. In the construction crew that built that bridge, that bridge would not fall. It would hold the automobile up. When we got ready to go out there and get in that car, and when my wife went out there and started the car, did I get out there and raise the hood and examine the engine and everything, make sure all the plug wires was hooked up and the positive and the negative ground was hooked to the battery? No. We have got to realize we've got to have more faith in God than we do man. Because see, man is what builds these things that we have out here today, that we cherish each and every day. We don't go out here and examine the stuff, just like right here. I didn't go out here and I didn't examine them steps to see if them steps was going to hold me up as I come up them steps tonight. Did you? Did you, Sister Huff, come up and when you started on the ramp there, did you examine the ramp to see if it's going to hold you up? No, you didn't. We don't do that. But yet we will get up here and say, well, you know, I prayed and I thought I was trusting God. But it seems like you just don't answer my prayer. That is the reason he don't answer my prayer. That's the reason he don't answer our prayer. That is the reason he don't answer the congregation's prayer, is because somebody is hindering the prayer life. They saying, well, God said, you know, we've been here now. This is the 50th year anniversary. And right now, the church is small. And we just gather here. People seem like they don't want to come to church. But that should not give us the right or give us the opportunity to give up and to quit praying for the church. If anything, we should pray harder for the church. And we not only pray harder for the church, I believe that we need to name it out. If we know somebody I hear that's cutting down the church, we need to go to God and we need to bring their name out to the Lord and say, Lord, such and such is out here, they running the church down. And God, that's something that's hindering the work here. The devil is doing what he can to destroy the work of God. Now, nobody's going to tell me, nobody's going to come up and tell me, no preacher, nobody else is going to ever come up and tell me that this is what God wants. God wants these eight people here, and that's all God wants. No, that's not all God wants. God is still saving souls today. God is still seeking eight people, and we have to do our part, because if we don't do our part, nobody else is going to do it for us. We don't need to go out here and invite other people that go into other churches. Let them go. If they're in church, let them be. We got plenty out there that's not in church. We need to go out there and seek them. We need to go out there and call on them. And let them know, say, well, God loves you. God loves you enough that he died for your soul. Come on, Dan, church. Just try.
I mean, I put up to a challenge. I said, just give us 30 days. If you don't like it, if you wholeheartedly just come and give the church 30 days, I'll try. Now, I'm not talking about coming one the first Sunday and then don't come back until the last Sunday. And you say, well, I tried it for 30 days. No, you didn't try it for 30 days. You tried it one day. I've got a feeling a whole lot of people today proclaim to be Christians, proclaim to be saved. And they know if they come into the house of God where they're preaching the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit won't leave them alone. And the Holy Spirit is going to touch them in such a way that they will step out. And they will step out to the fact that they will come to an altar. And when they come to an altar, when they leave the pews, they will be weeping. And when they come to the altar, they'd be weeping. What has changed? What has changed in the last 30, 40, 50 years? And people coming to the house of God and people just being such conviction that they will get out of their seat and come to the altar. What's changed? God has not changed. We have changed. We have changed. Why? Because we will leave. Like I said this morning, we will leave and we will go out and we will go in the highway and we'll go on our jobs tomorrow, or go somewhere tomorrow, shopping or whatever. And they'll see us like they really should see us. Are you a Christian? If you are, you need to live more of a Christian life outside of them doors than you do in here. Anybody can come in here and they can act like a Christian. They got it down and pat to the T exactly what the church is going to do.
It should not be like that. It should not be like that at all. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please who? The Lord? The Lord?
Impossible to please us also. Because one day we're going to have to stand before God. Like I said this morning, the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ.
One of these days, faith accepts God's word and does not doubt. Do we have that kind of faith? That we accept God's word as is it written? Or do we doubt any little portion of it? Hey, one is in, I can't remember, it's in Timothy, I think it is, in the book of Timothy, I think it might be the first book. It's in one of them, first or second. But it's speaking about being instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke. I'm supposed to get up here and preach it. And knowing that I know if I preach it, the people may not like it. It's maybe something that I don't want to preach, but I've got to preach it. Why? Because I'm human. I make mistakes also. So when I preach a message, any message, even tonight, this morning, last week, or whenever, it's not the first time that I hear it. So I must need it worse than y'all do. Because I hear the same message over and over and over during that week. Because God is preaching to me through His Word as I try to pin down the words and as I try to look up Scripture. I'm an old hell-bound sinner, saved by grace. Saved by grace. The only thing I deserve is hell. And I don't deserve anything else, no more or no less than hell. But God seen something in me that I could not see. He seen something in you that you could not see. That's the reason He went to Calvary. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The proof of faith in verse 1. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Promised, the promises of faith. Now faith is a substance and the promise of things hoped for, and it promised the most important promise that we have is the promise that in knowing Him, that He will pardon us. He will pardon us, and He will say, "You've done no wrong." I mean, that's the same thing as they said to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the same thing that Pilate said. Said, "I find no fault in Him. I see where He's done no wrong." Just like that, Jesus could have just done away with them, just like that. But He knew what His Father had told Him years ago when He was there in heaven. Says, "You going. And you're going to take up that cross." And then that while He was on the cross, they passed Him the vinegar. They wanted that vinegar to wet His lips. But He wouldn't take it. And He didn't. He thought of me and He thought of you. And they say He took His life. No, they didn't either. We did. I did. You did. We are the ones that took His life because of the sin that we had committed and the sin that He knew that we was going to commit one day. And back then, and the sin that Israel had committed and denied the Lord and denied God. And they went 400 years without hearing a thing from God. 400 years without hearing a thing from God. 400 years. That's 400 years now. That's not 400 days. 400 years. Just let's take 1 year. That's just 365 days. Times 40. How did they do that? I mean, how could they? They must have been wicked people at one time. They must have turned their back on God for God not to speak to them. I can't imagine going one day without having communication with God. I can't imagine going 4 hours without having some type of communication with God. We need, and that's the reason we need, in the Bible it says, cease not. We should always pray. We always should have a prayerful mind. We must get in our closet where we're completely by ourselves, just us and God. Get alone with God and just pray and talk to God. That's what prayer is just talking with God. But people today say, well, I don't have time to pray. Well, if you ain't got time to pray, you better watch out. Something about ready to come down your road. Something about ready to mess you up. Who was it? It wasn't God. It was you for not praying. Because He tells us in His Word, we must pray daily. We must continue praying all the time. What's up with preacher? You know, I got to leave in the morning. I got to drive down to South Carolina in the morning. That's about a three and a half, maybe four-hour drive exactly where I got to go on the other side of South Carolina. And says I'm going to drive it straight through. How am I going to pray to God behind this steering wheel? You know, that's the best kind of prayer time I have is when I'm behind that steering wheel. I don't have to close my eyes. See, they got this thing down there. You must close eyes. That's what we teach the little ones coming up. We teach them about the prayer life. And they go and kneel at the side of the bed and they'll pray. And that's good. I mean, I thank God for the parents that leads the children in that direction. I really do. But as we mature in the Lord and as we have to do other things in life, we learn. We learn by reading His book. We learn by reading His library. Because it's just not one book here. There's 66 books here. And we got 39 books that we can read. They're speaking of the past, the old time. Now, we got 27. It's speaking of today and the future. It's just as good for us today as it was for the day when Paul was coming up. It's good just for today, just like it was when John the Baptist come on the scene. It's just as good today
as it was when Abraham had to take his only son up on the Mount Moriah and offer him up as a sacrifice. It's just as good for us today. But we can look at it in the realm and in the time frame that we're living today. Yes, it happened 4,000 years ago. See what happened 4,000 years ago happened today. Just like the day in Job. Just like Lot and his wife. That right there is completely, that right there, we have completely turned completely 365 degree on what we used to be, what this country used to be. And it used to stand on principle. It used to stand on the Word of God. It used to stand on, if we done this and if we done that, then we better watch out. We're going to pay for our sins. But we done turned 360 degrees. I was talking to a preacher about 2 months ago, and he said that he'd been working on it, been working on a message there for about 6 months. And he was telling me that he was going to preach it the next Sunday.
And what it was preaching about, what the message was all about, is where the United States of America had completely turned 360 degrees. That America is not America anymore. It's Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. Sodom and Gomorrah. Now I thought that I would never live to hear today that we would ever have to go about getting licenses to where you can do certain things in a church. Started in one state. Where'd all of the Sodoms, the Sodomites, where did all that start at? Where did they get that passed at? Where was it first started when two women got married and two men got married? Where did it start? Started in California, the West. Now they've started in the South. Way down in the South, in Florida. Where there was one lady that took prayer out of school. But now you had a handful of men and women that was over a council meeting that is saying, now before you can pray over your meal at the diner, the diner's got to get a special permit to allow that to happen. And it just didn't stop there. After they got that approved, then they went in, and then they started about, before you can pray in your church, the church has got to purchase a special permit and have it enlarged and put on the wall to where they can pray. Now, I never did think I would ever live to see the day.
And I know some of the, like Brother Ben Poovey, Brother Mays Jackson, Brother D.L. Moody, Brother Billy Sunday, and all of them that stood the test, that stood up here and stood and preached what thus says the Word of God. Yes, they know what's going on. They know exactly what's going on. They know how the politicians have been. They know how the churches has done got. And I believe some of them over there are just begging God. Say, God, ain't it time to just to take your children and bring your children home? They don't need to go through no more. I heard once one individual, one preacher say, and it was Joel Osteen that said, he says, you know, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. I started to say, well, what? No, he can't make it better. The only thing I can say is that maybe he's thinking about maybe the Holy Spirit maybe start speaking to him. He might get saved. That's the only way it's going to get better for him. But I'm not the judge. I mean, I'm not saying that the boy's not already saved, but I think if he is, he's went off a deep end. I mean, but, you know, people flock to him like that. Why don't people come in here and flock into this church? Why won't they? I can tell you the reason why. Because of the King James Bible.
Well, I don't ever see him with the Bible.
And you won't.
You're going to look like he's reading something, but he never takes the Bible up.
But, you know, he... let's get off of that.
But faith. Faith. It's the substance of things hoped for. How can we build up our faith? Through this book. I can't build up your faith by standing up here just and preach your message on faith three times, four times a week. Every week. For 365 days a year or 52 weeks a year. If I could get up and preach it, yeah. What's it going to do for you? You know what's going to, the only way that the faith is going to get to an individual's heart is through the reading of God's Word. And when you read God's Word, then that's when God speaks to you. That's the only time that we can ever have communication with God. That's the only time that we can go back and we can answer God. When we read the Bible and when God speaks to our hearts. And then, if He asks us to do something, we have to remember one thing. He wouldn't ask us to do it if He didn't want us to do it. So we have got to do it. Hey, I mean, I know that sometimes that I'll get up here and sometimes I seem like it, I just ramble on. But God will take the message. And He will take where all the words that I spoke, that where it was kind of confusing, kind of
rambled and everything. But if we'll go back to him and say, well, God, exactly what did he mean by this? God, it seemed like he was doing a whole lot of rambling tonight. He was chasing rabbits tonight. But you know, some God would always take his messages, put them together. Put them together the way he wants them together. Where it can help one another. And that's the reason I'm here. I hope I help all y'all. I really do. That is my desire, is to help you. My desire is to see this church grow. My desire is to see this church flourish. And my desire is to see this church grow to the point that all the doubts that we have faced before in the past, that they will not doubt any longer. Because they've seen the faith that we've had. That it takes faith to go on. How long does it take the faith? I don't know. Well, I was telling you this morning about my brother. It took 20 years. It took 20 years for him to ever get saved. But the 20 years that I was talking to the Lord about him. In the first few years that I was talking to my brother about him. About the Lord. God took everything that was spoken. And everything that he wanted my brother to hear. He put it together. In the right way. In the right way. And I'm so thankful today that he's saved. That he's in heaven today. I've had preachers to come up and tell me, says, I don't believe. And going to the hospital. And I don't believe in going up there and try and pray him with them. And especially someone that is at the point of death. And I said, well, you ain't read my book. The book that God gave me. I don't know what Bible you read from or whatever. It's not the true word of God, I can tell you that. I said, because in the true word of God, Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And his two sisters came up and told Jesus when Jesus finally arrived, says, well, I don't know all the conversation they had, but said, well, why you didn't come earlier? Because now he's dead. He's been in the grave now 4 days and he stinketh now. See, they was talking about her brother Lazarus. What did Jesus do? He went over and stuck his head into the tomb. And it had steps going down to where the grave, where his grave was. And what did he say? Come forth. No. Ain't what he was saying. He says, Lazarus, now you come forth. Come forth, Lazarus. Because see, if he hadn't said Lazarus, then it'd be just like putting a pot of popcorn on the oven. It would be just a popping up, a popping here and there. I mean, grave just popping open. But you know, I'm thankful that God was willing to save me. He didn't have to. I thank God that He did. Save me. And please, don't get me wrong about anything that I say up here, because I'm just trying to get you that are here not to worry about things that we cannot do anything about. There's things that we have no control over. Only one has control is God. And I know that, Sister Nancy, you'd like to see your whole family in church. I know that. But the only thing you can do is just pray for them. They know that you want them all in church. Sister Huff, Brother Bill, Sister Donna, Sister Bureau, your family, they know that y'all would love to see them back in church. That y'all would love to see them back down here where they grew up in church. And maybe some of the others here has got other people that's in church. Maybe some not in church. But you'd love to see them get in church. But always remember this. If they're in church, where the preacher is preaching the Word of God, don't stay on. I know I have a daughter now. I would love for her to come. I would love for her to come to church down here where I'm at and where her mother's at. We both would love to see her come. Yes, she can play the piano, but something happened years ago about the piano. Another individual that kept talking about her and everything else about what she was playing. And it got her to the point that she just don't want to ever play the piano again. Not in church. But I don't stay on her. I'll ask her every now and once in a while. And my wife, she said, "Well, you just leave it alone. If she wants to come, she'll come." I know that. But if he's in church, say, "Lord, I don't understand while they're not near him. Lord, I'm so thankful that they're in church. I mean, really. Now, time has gone away. But please, if it's anything at all, that if something goes wrong or something, whatever, if you ever need to talk to me about anything, you can call me or whatever. And I promise you, if you don't want nobody else to know it, so all you have to do is just tell me. This is between me and you. My wife won't even know. Because you just don't tell. Somebody has got enough confidence in me to tell me some things and ask me to pray for them. I'm not going to repeat what they've said. Let us all pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have laid on our heart, Father, the people that is here. And Lord, I know it's not but just 8 of us that is faithful in coming. And Lord, we know, Father, that you can do all things. Now, Lord, we just waiting for you to do that which is impossible as we look at it. But Father, there's nothing that is impossible when it comes to you. And we do thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be a part of this fellowship. Not only this fellowship, Father, but the fellowship that we can have together around your precious word and around you, Father. Now, Lord, we just pray tonight that you'll help each one of us this week. Father, that we'll go about and just inviting someone to come to church. If they're in church, Lord, and if you're in a Bible-believing church that's preaching the Word of God, Father, we don't want to get them out of church. We don't want to get them confused. We don't want to say, well, they need to be down here. They don't need to be in that other church. We don't know. Lord, but you do. Father, tonight, as we dismiss from here, and go our separate ways. Father, I know we will be separate from the people. Father, we can never be separated from you. Lord, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.